Next episode of the Tradepreneur Show is part two of our discussion on club memberships. Doesn't matter if you don't have any or are not offering them, or you are offering them and want to take them to the next level. We're going to talk more about the mechanics of them, and I'm going to share some interesting statistics that should convince you as to why your organization should be offering club memberships. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Tradepreneur Show. Patrick Summers, your host, flying solo once again. Kind of like this solo stuff. I feel like, the Lone Ranger or something. No Tonto. So today I want to talk about part two that I promised would be coming on club memberships. And this episode is probably going to be pretty brief and to the point. Now, what I find is every time I say that, they end up becoming long episodes. So we'll find out if this is holds true to being a brief episode or not. We talked about the importance of club memberships. We talked about the three pillars, the three elements to really make sure that club memberships are a focal point of your organization. Again, just to review, it starts at the top. It has to be something that the leadership, senior leadership, owners, senior managers, executives, whatever you have in your organization, are totally and completely strong believers in. And then it has to push down. Now, I'm very much in bottom up in operations, right? I'm very much into commander's intent, so on and so forth, and allowing the organization, the people in the field out there on the front lines, to give the information and to be able to affect change from their vantage point to help grow an organization. However, there are certain things that really have to come from the top. Well, everything has to come from the top, right? The vision, everything like that. And that's where, go back and listen to the episode on Commander's Intent come from. With the club membership has to be something that is totally 100% committed to by the top. And you would think that would be obvious, but I have met business owners who are a little befuddled, to use a term, by club memberships. And really, sometimes it's, and there's different concepts on this. You could have a club membership where you go out and you totally cover all your costs and everything like that. That's one school of thought. The other one, you go out and you don't. It's kind of a lost leader. And there's a lot of controversy over whether you use a lost leader. The reality is, figure out what works for your company. But once you do, make sure you put a stake in it and you believe in it and you push it down through the organization to where everybody has as much passion and conviction as you do. You know, there's this law of the lid, right, from John Maxwell. And the law of the lid is the organization is only going to grow to the, it's not going to surpass the leadership lid of the owner, the senior manager, the CEO, whoever it may be, right? So you always got to keep developing yourself, because you've got to, if you want to attract people, you've got to totally be aware of the law of the lid. And you have to continually raise your lid. Now, the same holds true with beliefs, right? It's, while it does happen, if you don't have the ultimate belief in something like club memberships, it on rare occasions will you find somebody in your organization who's going to have a stronger belief, rise above, and drive the organization based on that belief. They're going to, if you're on a scale of 1 to 100 on excitement on something, in this case, club memberships, if you're at a 60, nobody else in the organization is going to be above a 60, if that makes sense. And if they are internally, they're not going to take the action to go beyond it, because the organization's not supporting them to operate at a 70, 80, 100. So you need to be at 100% on this. Then your team, if you can get them to be at 70, 75, 80, and some at 100, fantastic. But that's the number one rule. Then you obviously, you have to train on it. You have to role play on it. You have to get excited about it. And you have to reward for it. You have to incentivize and reward. Because if it really matters to the organization and to you, then there should be some sort of reward, performance incentive. I'm a firm believer that that should be the case in just about anything. So now that we've did that brief review, let's talk about the impact club memberships can have to your organization. So I pulled some numbers for General Air Conditioning and Plumbing, and it's interesting. They're very, very spot on to some industry case studies that I've found. Now, how many clubs should you have? Well, we're going to get to that. Actually, let's talk about that right now because it will wrap into this quite nicely. I've heard numbers out there that you should have, for every $1 million in revenue, you should have 1,000 club members, right? So if you're $5 million in revenue, you should have 5,000 club members. That's a crazy number. Now, I'm not saying there's companies that are out there that don't have those numbers. There's companies that probably exceed those numbers. But I'm just like, man, when I hear those numbers, I'm like, that would be amazing. Truthfully, we're not even close to that. Now, a metric I use, and it's a metric from an organization, which if you listen to the episode 2 episodes ago about being a member of trade organizations, best practice organizations, one of the metrics they use is 350 memberships per technician. Now, when I use that metric for our company, we are very close. We're not on a scale of 1 to 10 is how close we are. We're probably a 7.5 to an 8. All right, so we're close, but we're not a 10 on meeting that metric. So statistics, why it matters, why the amount of club memberships matters. One, it's gonna be a contributing factor to the value of your business. You know, in this world of private equity and everybody talking about multiples, people talk about multiples like they understand multiples and that's all that matters is multiples. But if you really do your research, if all you worry about is a multiple, the PE companies will get you what you want and still not give you what you could have got. That's a story for another day. With that said, a value, there's certain things beyond the multiples in a business that bring value to it. You know, do you have a unique positioning in the market? Do you have a unique strategic fit for who's looking to acquire you? Do you have club members? Because remember, club members have greater loyalty to the business. There's a relationship there. There's a history there. I'll give you an example. We have just last night, we got a call from a customer that had some backed up mains. And it was about 5 o'clock the call came in. And we sent our technicians out and we were there. We got everything flowing and then we're back today making a permanent fix to their problem. That individual's been a club member for us for a long time, long before we offered plumbing. And they've used us over the years. So naturally, when they had a plumbing issue, because of that relationship, we were called. So the loyalty is there. And that's the big thing. Of course, loyalty only goes as far as you screw up, right? If you screw something up, depending on how big it is and depending on how you handle it, you're going to get more forgiveness, but very few people forgive incompetence. So just remember that. All right, let's move on. The club memberships. So some case studies. I'm going to read some numbers here. A business case. In 40% in this particular instance of repair revenue came from club memberships, and 60% of replacement revenue came from club memberships. This is for an HVAC company in particular. But the numbers are similar, regardless of what you're in. All right. Now, of the customer base, of these case studies, and this was several companies they took and put together, on average, 20% of the customer base was club memberships. All right. So if you look at those numbers, the 40 and the 60, and then here's the interesting one. 70% of the revenue for the business came from club memberships. Sounds very, very like the 80-20 rule, right? The 80-20 rule. So I did some research to share with you for General Air Conditioning and Plumbing. And I looked at year to date for 2025. And I looked at last year to see what percentage of our revenue is coming from club memberships. 83% year to date of the revenue we've generated has come from club members. Last year, it was 78%. So we were right there in that sweet spot. Think about if we did not have club memberships. Now, if your organization has club memberships, and I don't care if you're in roofing, I don't care if you're in HVAC, plumbing, electrical, I don't care if you build pools. And if you build pools and you don't have membership programs, man, everybody needs somebody to take care of their pool. But if you have a business and you have club memberships, what would your business be without those club memberships? Think about that. If you have a business and you don't have club memberships, what could your business be with club memberships? Just stop and think about that for a minute. If you have them, where would you be without them? Or how much better could you be with them? And if you don't have them at all, how much better could you be if you had them? Now, here's another perfect reason why you should be involved with these some of these trade groups, best practice groups. The good ones, the established ones, let me rephrase that. I don't want to use the good ones. I think they're all good depending on what you're looking for. The established ones, especially, have like blueprints, like here it is, this is how you do it. In addition, they have members who have done it and are doing it, and they are the individuals you get to talk to and discuss and learn from. So something I think is really important is if you're going to launch into this, don't do it alone. Reach out to somebody you know that has a plan, is successful with a plan, or get with one of these groups. And if it's for no other reason than to start or enhance your club memberships, then do that. Now, if you're just starting out, or if you're like us, you have a club membership program and you want to make it better. And that's what we're always in. How do we make it better? How do we grow this? There's a couple key points that I am a firm believer in. One, make it so amazing you feel stupid to say no to, right? Like when it's presented to somebody and with what they get, they would feel stupid to say, no, I don't want that. Make it that simple or that amazing, which leads me to number two. Make it simple. Make it simple to understand. Make it simple to sign up for. And this is the most important thing. Make it simple to get out of. Make it simple to cancel. Make yourself easy to do business with. Listen, your club membership should not be a lobster trap. A lobster trap, as we know, especially if you're a lobster, they're easy to get into and they're hard to get out of, right? We are not selling timeshares. We are offering a membership that gives benefits and certain special privileges and incentives to customers to do business with us and to commit to us. And in exchange, we are giving you these amazing deals, incentives, perks, what have you, that we don't offer anybody else. So make it easy to get into, easy to get out of if it doesn't work for the individual. Okay? Those are just some of the key things that I think need to be considered when you put together a club membership. If you're brand new to it, sit down with your team. Sit down with leadership, sit down with techs, and find out what they think should be included or not included. And I guess that's if you're not a member of an organization. you should still do that. But, you know, follow the guide. Follow the guide. Follow the templates. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Now, once you have the wheel and you're using a wheel, now you can make the wheel better. And that's what we're constantly in the pursuit of. I don't want to reinvent the wheel. I don't believe you can make anything better than a round object to move a vehicle. All right, all you Star Wars people and whatever. Yes, there's some sort of hovercraft and you can do this and levitate. All I'm just talking about what we have here now. If you want to go invent all that, that's fantastic. Great, I'll probably be an early adapter to it. But right now, what I'm looking to do is how do I make the wheel better, the tire better? How do I make it run flat? All right? Think about it. How do you make the tread better? How do you get more grip for all conditions? How do you make sure that it's more durable, longer mile, smoother ride, and yet affordable? You're doing the same thing with your club membership. All right? Same thing. So once you have it in place, that's the other thing I'll tell you. If you're just launching one, it doesn't have to be perfect. In fact, I would say you probably don't want it to be perfect. Don't wait for perfection. You want to just launch with something, and then you're going to learn, and you're going to, you know, bob and weave. Just get something out there. Start using it to train on, to role play on, to get comfortable presenting. And as you're going down that road, enhance it, make it better, develop it. Once you have it going and rocking and rolling, and we've had ours for, 18 years. It's called the Service Plus Agreement. And we've enhanced it through the years. When we added trades, when we add a trade, we do not charge separate for that. We do not increase the charge to add that trade. We add the trade. And the numbers, the statistics I gave earlier, I think answer as to why. All right. So with that said, figure out how you're going to launch it, what you're going to do. And if you already have one, or once you launch, then it's constantly revisiting it. How do we make it better? How do we make it better? How do we make it better? And when I say better, I'm not talking about change for change's sake. I'm talking about as you get more competitive out there, as the landscape gets more competitive. When we first started offering club memberships, hardly anybody in our market was offering club memberships. A few were, not many. It was very unique. Now everybody offers club memberships. So constantly, how do you evolve? How do you stay ahead of the competition? Because they're going to be following you. If there's one thing I know, and this is from being a race fan, sometimes first place is the toughest place to be. And that's why a lot of good drivers, when they have a first place car, they hang out in second or third until the final laps. Because everybody's chasing you. Everybody wants to be you. I had a trainer one day, he says, "You can't be me, you're not me." And I thought, wow. Then he had another one, "You won't catch me because you're not me." And I was, wow, those are really profound. Doesn't mean people aren't trying. We have a competitor sold to private equity in town. I'm getting off the little beaten path here, but sold to private equity in town. They spent years trying to recruit all our team, trying to implement everything we did, so much so to the point that one of our pricing books was left behind by one of their technicians. So our technician went out, the customer gave it to our technician. It was identical to ours. Prices were different, certain little descriptions, but it was basically a carbon copy of what we had. Then our contract for sales, they just basically took it and copied it. So you're always constantly trying to stay ahead, So that's why you have to constantly evolve your club memberships. Not for the sake of change, for the sake of what does the customer want? What does the customer need? The customer is changing, right? The customer that liked to read the newspaper, they're no longer your customer base, or they're becoming less and less your customer base. And then the ones that were playing video games are now you're buying the homes. And they're the ones that aren't going to read the newspaper, but they're going to be online. So just like our marketing strategies and communication strategies have to change, so does a club membership. What appeals to your customer base? So evolve it in that matter. All right. With that said, I hope this episode helps with the clubs. If, again, I'm available anytime somebody wants to talk, ask me questions. I don't have all the answers, and all my answers aren't the right answers, and they're not necessarily the best answer for you. But I would love, and I'm more than happy to have conversations, whether it's on the phone or email or text. Also, I can point you to a lot of resources if you need to. Just, you know, my way of giving back and being able to enjoy what I do. With that said, thank you very much for supporting the show by listening to the show, liking the show, and hopefully sharing the show. Again, we can be found anywhere you find podcasts, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, you name it, we're there. And we're even on YouTube. So if you're thinking like, man, this guy sounds like he's a looker, you can check me out on YouTube and find out if that's true or not. Feel free to share if you think I'm not. With that said, until next time, stay great.